Jess Connolly, and you are listening to the Go and Tell Gals podcast. We exist to equip and encourage kingdom women who are using their God-given gifts for the good of others and the glory of God. If you are a mom, a student, an artist, a doctor, we are hoping that this episode will leave you encouraged and ready to run. We're so glad you're here. Let's go. Hey friends, Jess
hey
and Caroline.
Friends,
we're talking about hearing from God. We're going to jump
so
in
excited.
Hot today.
Jumping
we're just going to go for
Let's
it.
Let's go for it.
So I want to start with, can you talk about a time you've heard from God? Caroline is the perfect person to have on this podcast because when I actually describe you to other people, this is what I say about Caroline. I say, Caroline hears from God.
That is like so kind.
And spoiler alert, I think everybody hears from God.
Me too.
But I perceive what's interesting about you is that you can communicate it really well.
Oh, thank you.
And you usually, I mean, I don't know of many cases where you don't obey what he tells you to do. Like, you actually do what he tells you to do. So that's impressive and remarkable. But yeah, we thought we'd start by just sharing like some kind of like interesting times we've heard from God.
Yeah.
So yeah, you jump in first.
I think the recent one in the past few months that I like still kind of laugh about is just, you know, God has such great character. He's like kind of a funny guy. Let's like remember that as we go into this episode. I think anyways, a few months ago, if you follow me on Instagram, you know this, but I was renovating a house and it was like this like wild decision. I have no idea how to renovate a house. So there's that. And I came home one day and I was like freaking out. I was like, this is really a bad decision. What am I doing? I don't know how to even go around Lowe's, let alone like figure these issues out. And so I went around and I was like, God, please help. I need help. I need help. I need help. It was one of those like panic moments. I was like, I need you to show up right now. And I just felt God say, like, go back to the front door of the house, like just go back. But it was dark out and it was weird and there was nothing at the house. And so I was like, that seems really silly. I'm not going to go back there. But when I went back to the door, there was a business card in the door for this guy who like helped me complete the whole house, like miraculously.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's real.
That's real.
That's big. Okay. I want to say this is interesting, but there have been a few times where I've had something planned on my calendar and I have had a knowing in my gut.
Yes.
This is not going to happen.
Yes. That's so real.
That's not – this friend says she's coming to visit. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to have this meeting. It's going to get canceled. And I'll just have a knowing like that's not going to happen. The weirdest one I had was – in maybe 2016, 2017, I was supposed to go on a mission trip. I was supposed to go on a trip. Mission trip is probably not the right word. I was going to go on a trip with Able, the clothing company,
yeah,
to Africa to like meet some of their artisans. And I just in my knower,
right,
I was like, I'm not going. The trip isn't going to happen. And I had my passports. We had our tickets. Everything
yep.
was planned. And like 6 days before, the trip got canceled. It was weird.
Those things are amazing. And also like the practice of taking note of them. Because I think
yeah.
that they happen really frequently, like
yeah.
for everyone. We
yeah.
just to take note and capture it is really beautiful.
Yeah. And it's risky.
It is risky because you're like, really?
It's really risky to say it out loud. I love
it
when
is.
People will tell me like a sense they have and they feel crazy about it. Like they're like, this sounds crazy, but I'm going to say it. I've had a few of those about our church. I had one about the location of like the first location of our church. We were meeting in our home for months and I was out on a run one day and I ran by our kids' elementary school and just sensed God say, that's where the church is going to meet. And we had already asked and they had already said, we had actually heard from,
right.
heard Noah a lot, but I just knew like, no, we're going to have church there. And I went home and told Nick that and he was like, well, I don't know, man. Like they really said no. And I was like, ask one more time. And they said yes. And we ended up meeting there for 5 years.
That's
yeah.
so real. I mean,
yeah.
one of the craziest ones too, when I look back on my life is when I was literally living in Ohio and I told my parents, I was like, I think God tells me I'm going to work for Jess Connolly.
You, that
my parents
is
were
real.
Like,
I can't like, believe we didn't even think about
I
that
know.
One.
I just remember my parents were like, who's Jess Connolly? Like,
yeah.
my friends were like, okay, it's Jess Connolly. I was like, I think I'm just going to move to Charleston.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you talking about? You live in Ohio.
That's real. That's
it
a good one.
It works out.
We know we're going to hit whole span of you today. Some of you who are like, I hear from God all the time. Some of you who are like, I don't believe people hear from God.
Right.
I think you guys are crazy. And some people who are like, maybe, I don't know.
Like, I want to hear from God.
I think, or yeah. What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
So you're all welcome here.
Bring it on.
Will say, if you think we sound crazy, we're going to sound crazier. So just make me turn it off. I don't know. But let's take a quick coaching break and we'll be right back. All right, friends, quick coaching session. And I want to talk a little bit about figuring out what you desire. I put out a post on Instagram earlier this week about how I am obsessed currently with the color brown. And I do mean I am obsessed. I am in fully deep. I have traded out the black heart emoji for the brown heart emoji. I am wearing brown on my nails. I'm wearing brown lipstick. I am going for it because all of a sudden I'm obsessed with brown. But for me, there's actually a deeper thing behind this. And it's because I've realized that accessing even just the base desire of figuring out what colors I like has helped me to live more fully spiritually awake in a lot of different ways. So this quick coaching session is for women who would say, I don't know what I want. When it comes to my calling, when it comes to my life, when it comes to using my God-given gifts, I have no idea. Number one, I want to just say, I have so much compassion for you because we are literally taught and told and conditioned to press down desire as women from a very early age. If you're tired, press it down. Don't take a nap, keep going. If you're hungry, press it down. That's how you lose weight. We actually even glorify and maybe even make it seem like it's cool to not access a ton of desire. But I want to tell you that your father made you intentionally with a ton of desires and preferences and passions. And I want us to learn to turn the dial up on those because as we turn the dial up on those, I believe we're going to turn up the hunger and thirst for righteousness as well. So what do you do? And what are some kind of gateway desires you can begin to access? I mean, number one, I would start asking like, what colors do I like? But also, I would encourage you to, if you have a set of foods or places that you typically go, places you go, foods you eat, outfits you always wear, let yourself just take a minute and pause and say, do I like this? Or do I engage in these because it's culturally appropriate or because it's what everybody else is doing or it's because I think it's what I should do? I wonder how you exercise. Is the way you exercise the way you love to exercise? Or do you go to a class because it's really hard and you feel like you should love it? What are some of those kind of just base desires that you can begin to access that will help you wake back up to God-given desire? And again, we're not talking about building a fussy life where everything is how we want it all the time. We're talking about accessing desire in the places where we already have freedom so that we can run hard and be poured out for the glory of God. Really just having our lives wrung out as we serve and lead and love others. But along the way, we still get to access desire. So I'd love to hear from you. Where are you going to start? Is it going to be color? Is it going to be clothes? Is it going to be what food you want to eat? Is it going to be where you want to go today? Is it going to be which book you want to read? How you want to exercise? How you want to rest? What do you want? And how can you access it in Jesus' name? Let's go. Here's what I want to do. I actually want to read a couple of verses.
I love that.
And what my intent in reading these verses is to say, I actually have no intention. I have no capacity. I do not feel called to convince anyone that they hear from God. I want to read you what I see in God's word, just a few verses, mm-hmm. and I want to leave it at that. In general, I've noticed this about myself. I don't really have the capacity to convince anybody of anything.
Yeah, it's not our job.
Yeah, not our job. So I'm going to read three or four verses, and then we're going to get into the bones of the episode. Isaiah 30, 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. John 14, 25 through 27. Before I read this passage, I want to let you know what's interesting to me about the next two passages I'm going to read to you from. One is John 14 and one is John 16. I think it's really important to read these in context, and you should know that Jesus is teaching his disciples as they walk from the upper room where they've just had the Last Supper to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will be betrayed and arrested. And so I always like to remind myself of that as I read anything from John 14, 15, 16, to know that these are his last words to his best friends and his closest followers. Mm. And it brings a different weight to them for me. So John 14, 25 through 27. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. John 16, 12 through 15, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And lastly, James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. I just want to say, my purpose in reading that last passage is not to, like, you know, elbow anyone to the neck and say, like, don't doubt God, because I think there's a lot of space for doubt in faith. Mm-hmm. But my point in reading it is that in James, we hear this beautiful message that, like, we do get to ask for wisdom and discernment from God, and we get to expect to receive. That's what I hear most importantly from that. Like, this is our right as children of God. So, reading those passages, we've got four important little bullet points that we want to hit about hearing from God. The first is this. I just want to say, if you want to hear from God, that is a beautiful desire. Mm-hmm. It is something really beautiful about you. Again, I feel like a lot of our work at Go and Tell Gals is undoing and unwriting and untying lies and burdens that have been placed on women. And one of them is this idea that it's kind of extra,
yeah,
to want to hear from God, or it's kind of like even selfish, right, is like something prideful that I think women feel. And I'm laughing because I'm just mad at the enemy about it.
Right.
And I just believe it's a beautiful desire to want to hear from God, and it's a disastrous lie to believe that it's extra or selfish, or that you potentially might not be able to. You hearing from God is not about your capacity. It's about his capacity. And so we would never limit, right, God's capacity, and we don't want, right, to limit God's capacity.
Right.
So that's point one for me.
I love it.
Any thoughts?
I just remember this phrase that I used to say, which I think I need to bring it back, but I would just say, like, normalize hearing from God.
Yep.
That it isn't this extra thing. It can be very simple and normal. And, like, what if it could just be a beautiful daily thing? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we need to normalize it.
Normalize hearing from God. Okay. Number two, how do we hear from God? What's the practical? I want to say that I mentioned this to you, Felicia Masonheimer put out a reel about hearing from God. I intentionally did not watch it before recording this episode because I didn't want to steal her content, but we will link to it in the show notes. And I highly respect all of what Felicia shares, so I'm really grateful for her. But that being said, I wanted to answer, like, from my heart of what feels true to me. So when I talk about women hearing from God, I think of all of these different ways. Scripture, I think one of the best ways we can hear from God and understand God's heart is his word. And I'm actually going to talk about this in our next bullet point too, but I sense a lot of God's vision and direction and insight and clarity and even wisdom and insight for my life from reading scripture. I also believe God speaks through dreams. I got to watch it because sometimes, though, I'll be thinking something's prophetic and it is not. It's like I ate a bad burrito or like I need to get more sleep. But there have been moments where God has spoken to me through dreams. I perceive God speaks to his kids through just gut feelings,
yeah,
and instincts.
Yeah, just like feeling it.
Yeah, this is right. This is not right. both ways. I believe God speaks through wise counsel. Mm-hmm. I also believe we have to be discerning about counsel because sometimes it cannot be God. One thing we talk a lot about in our office is desire. I believe God speaks a lot through God-given desire. And I actually believe a lot of us, our capacity to hear from God has been limited in the past. Our personal capacity to hear from him, not his capacity to speak, but our capacity to perceive what it is that he's saying, because we are instinctively and intrinsically taught to press down desire, meaning like if you're tired, push past it. If you're hungry, be hungry. You know, don't think about what you want. Don't think about what you need. Don't think about what your core bodily needs are. And I think one way that we can tap back into hearing from God, which you heard about this a little bit in the coaching session, is by learning to access desire again. But I also think we can hear from God through prophetic words and just through the work of the prophetic.
Right.
And that has been true in my life too. Are there any that I'm leaving out or any that like seem to be really important to you or people you know?
Yeah. I think my main one that I resonate with is gut feelings. Yeah. I also like in journaling and prayer, like in journaling, I do experience a lot of hearing from God. But something that has always encouraged me is that the fact that you could like actually practice hearing from God. Mm. Like this is something that you don't have to like wait for. It's something that we can actually like practice. So even asking God like simple questions like, hey, yeah, what do you want me to make for lunch? Or like,
yes,
which way should I turn? Or
yes,
who should I call for this?
Yes.
Or what journal do you want me to use today? Or what book do you want me to read? It's like 100%. Simple daily questions like that have really,
really
helped me hear from God. It's been really helpful practice. So I think like we don't need to be like women waiting for the lightning bolt to come down. We can just like practice where we are.
That is a whole word, really, Caroline. Helpful. That's really, really, really good.
Hey gals, we have a quick question for you. What would it take to make a lasting change in your life? To finally shift your habits and set goals that matter? In her new book, Reset, licensed counselor Deborah Falada wants to help you break free from the unhealthy cycles that have left you feeling burnt out and discouraged. Deborah writes, "You're not alone in having something in your life you want to shift. Wanting to change is evidence of humility and strength, of maturity and growth. It tells me that you see weak spots in your life and you want to get better, stronger, and healthier." Reset will walk you through 31 powerful practices that are grounded in psychology and rooted in God's word. Each practical exercise will give you the power to own your thoughts, understand your feelings, and ultimately change your life. No matter how many times you've fallen back into old thought patterns and unhelpful habits, Reset will empower you to make changes that you can be proud of. You can find Reset by Deborah Falada, linked below in our show notes, on Amazon or from your favorite bookseller. Now, back to our episode.
Bullet point number 3. How to check and trust
this is good.
What you're hearing from God. How do I know? Is this your next question? How do I know if what I'm hearing is from God? Well, again, here's my perspective. I could be wrong. My first thought to share is this. You're just not always going to know.
No.
And somebody needs to tell each of us that hard news. We're just not always going to know. But the good news of this is I actually don't think the point of our life is to check every single box and to like walk this exactly right path all the time. And I think a lot of what we learn in life, we learn through failure. We learn from like thinking we're doing the right thing and making a misstep. So I don't think we need to be so terrified of hearing wrong. God still loves us. He's going to keep talking to us. I think it's beautiful and godly that we want to hear correctly from him, but I don't think that our life is over if we mess it up.
Right.
Yeah.
I think like the beautiful part about hearing from God is that like we get to fail.
Yeah.
Like we get to be like, okay, well, maybe I was wrong about that. And I think sometimes at least it limits me from, and maybe other women, if you resonate with this, from like opening up myself to hear from God because I'm afraid that I'll hear wrong. Mm. But when I hear wrong, it's just something about me that I get to surrender in my humanness. It's never about God.
Yeah.
You know? So that's just, it's humble and beautiful to hear from God, and we get to scale.
That's really good.
It's part of the practice.
Yeah. But practically how I check what I'm hearing from God is this. Number one, does it line up with scripture? Does it line up with what I see to be true about his character and his kingdom that I find in God's word? And the caveat to this is we got to be in God's word. Mm-hmm. And I will say that I believe that as spirit rises, so does truth. As the work of the spirit rises, so should truth. They go hand in hand. We That's worship good. In spirit and in truth. So if I see someone who is experiencing a lot of the spirit and they're not grounded in truth, I'm a little wary. In the same hand, when I see people who are obsessed with truth and knowledge and don't make space for the spirit, I'm a little wary as well. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, you know, number one, we ground this work of the spirit in truth and in the word. So if something you're hearing does not line up with scripture, God's character, the work of his kingdom, and the way we see it portrayed in scripture, I would pause. Number two, our favorite phrase around here at Go and Tell Gals is the good and the glory. And what we mean by that is if it's good for other people and it brings God glory, you're probably safe to do it. So if you're hearing something from God and it serves other people, it blesses other people, and it also brings God glory, I don't know, man. I don't know that you can make a huge misstep here. And that's why we love that phrase, the good and the glory, the good and the glory. That's what we're after. I think having safe people in your life and in this capacity, safe to me would mean they operate in both spirit and truth too. They know how to hear from God and obey God, and also they're rooted in truth and the word of God. Having safe people that you can check in with, that you can kind of compare and contrast, here's what I'm hearing, here's what I think I'm going to do about it. I think that is another huge help when it comes to hearing from God. Anything else that you would share?
Yeah, a few years ago, one time a teacher kind of told me, I was trying to figure out, like, how do we hear from God? What is this? How do I practice this? How do I figure this out? And he kind of like offered this helpful exercise that sometimes I use. It's like, if you're trying to discern something and you think you're hearing it from God, like, just imagine that you're like handing it to the Father, and if he like accepts it, then maybe it's something from him. But if he doesn't, then maybe you should just let it fall, let it go. Ooh. And that's kind of been a really helpful like mental imaginative prayer for me to use of like, I'll take this piece of information, this thought, this idea, this thing, and like hand it to the Father. What does he do with it? Is it gone? Does it need to go away? Or is it something that like he accepts as a gift? And that's been really helpful for me.
I love that. Yeah. I'm going to pick that up. Okay, lastly, and this is it. And this is what we got for you today. Number four, how do you communicate what you hear from God to other people?
This is a great one.
I have three words for you, and I'm sure Caroline has insight here too, but I would say humbly, boldly, and patiently. Humbly, boldly, and patiently. Here's what I mean by those. Humbly, a lot of women are terrified that they're going to share something they're hearing from God with someone else, and they're going to question them. And so one of the best ways that we can combat this, if we're sharing it with safe people, is to say, do you have any questions? Mm-hmm. Invite the questions, or say, I could be wrong about this.
Right.
Will you help me kind of turn it around and pay attention? This goes for spouses. This goes for friends. This goes for our parents. Here's what I think I'm hearing. Can I submit this in front of you? You ask me questions about it. You poke any holes in it. You and I were talking about this recently, and I said, I hope that our team hears me do this a lot, that I'll say like, I think I have an idea. I think I have a sense about where we should go. Please ask questions.
Yeah, you're
great. Let's turn it around. Because guess what? You won't feel defensive if you start with humility, and people will feel less defensive about what you're sharing with them if they feel like, oh, she's humble in this. She's asking for wisdom. So number one, humbly. Number two, boldly, because guess what? Humility and boldness are not counterintuitive to one another. You can be both humble and bold. And so how this looks for me practically is I might say, here's what I think I'm hearing from God. Will you kind of process it with me? Will you poke any holes in it? Mm-hmm. And then after that, once I like have a gut leading, okay, I've checked this with other people, I've checked it with scripture, I'll tell you what I stop doing. I stop saying, I feel like, and I start saying, I heard this from God.
Yeah.
That simple shift in my language to say, this is what I've heard from God. Even if I'm maybe not necessarily like going against or I'm moving forward, even against someone's caution, I will say to them, will you trust that I hear from God? And like, will you still be on my team if I get it wrong? That's all I'm asking.
That's good.
And that's what I would want to do for you too. And then lastly, I think it's really important that we communicate very patiently and know that like someone else's reaction to what you're communicating, if your obedience to what you perceive God is telling you hinges on whether or not someone else says yes or no, you're in a bad spot. That actually means you're worshiping them. And again, I'm advocating for getting wise counsel, for asking other people, but sometimes you're going to get wise counsel and still need to obey God and still need to obey what he's telling you to do. I'm going to end with this one last little story, and it was really interesting to me. As far as church planting, a lot of times when you're church planting, you get assessed by other people, which means like you go and sit in a room and they basically interview you and say yes or no, you can plant or you can't plant. And I will never forget the first assessment Nick and I went through years before we ever planted a church. And as we were walking into the interview, a guy kind of yelled out to us and he was like, hey, Nick and Jess, when do you guys leave? Like, when do you go to start your church? And I remember Nick said back like, well, we'll see how the interview goes. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation. And for years, that conversation got stuck in my head. Mm-hmm. And spoiler alert, we did not pass that assessment. They said we were not ready to plant a church. But for years, I could look back to us calling back and saying, we'll see how this goes. Yeah. And that's when we'll know. And knowing like, that's when I knew we weren't ready.
Yeah.
Because we need to be patient for everybody else's reaction. And we needed to be humble and ready to receive insight. But all that being said, if we go into any kind of communicating of what God has told us, needing approval, we're probably in the wrong spot. So don't need approval and be patient as the person you're communicating it to processes it.
So good. I think like the best part about hearing from God is that it's not about you. So when you communicate it to others, you can just trust God.
Come on,
let it go.
In Jesus' name. Okay, we want to hear, what are you hearing from God?
Yes,
please. We want to hold it with you. Go share it in our Facebook community. Go share it on an Instagram post. Send us an email. We love you. We believe you hear from God. Yes. We trust you hear from God. We think he's a great communicator, and we can't wait to hear what happens as you process this episode. We love you. God is mighty. Thanks for joining us for today's podcast episode. If you have a minute, we would be so blessed if you would take a minute to leave a review wherever you've listened to this podcast. You're also welcome and encouraged to share this on Instagram, Facebook, wherever you use social media. We'd also love to hear from you. DM us on Instagram or send us a message on Facebook, shoot us an email. We love to connect with you to hear how we can encourage you and further equip you. God is mighty in you. Let's keep going.